this is the story of Count Potocki. I don't think anybody heard the story yet of Count Potocki. There's a Count Upinski, but not a Count Potocki. Now really, this story is mainly about a Yid who was his manager, but you know, Count Potocki is such an interesting name, so we tell you about Count Potocki first, who's a big poet living in a big castle. But the story really does not start with him. But since everybody got excited, and they calmed down, and they got quiet hearing the name Count Potocki, it's a good way to start the story of Count Potocki. Okay, Count Potocki was a big, important poet, and Count Potocki, like big, important poets, had a big, important castle, and big fields, and big buildings, and factories, and all kinds of things. And of course, he liked to have big parties, and have a lot of money, and a big bank account, and all that kind of stuff. Like so many other poet stories. And the poets usually had a manager, a worker, that was in charge of their business things. And usually, and many times, this was a Jew, this was a Yid. Because a Yid was smart, and the Yid was honest, and he could trust the Yid to get the job done. But don't think that the poets did any favors for the Yid. The manager for Count Potocki, even though he had to work very hard and do all the jobs that Count Potocki gives him to do, but he also has a house, and he has to pay money for rent for the house, and it was a lot of money. And Count Potocki would collect the money once a year, and you better pay. And if you don't pay the money, you know who gets very angry at you? Count Potocki, the poets. And this Yid, who was the manager for Count Potocki, one year went by and he just did not have enough money to pay the rent. And it came the day to pay the rent to Count Potocki, and he sent his messenger to collect the rent, and the manager did not have the rent. And Count Potocki got angry, but because he was getting so much other rent from other people, he didn't get that angry. So he said, I'm going to give my manager a chance. And after a while, he forgot about it because he had so much money and he had, you know, he had enough. He was a rich man. Until the second year came around and the manager had to pay his rent. And again, he did not have his rent. And this time, Count Potocki got very, very angry. And of course, you can figure out what color his face turned. And Count Potocki now sent a message to his manager, and he says, if the third year will come, and you have not yet paid me the rent that you owe me, not just for the third year, but for year one and two, plus the interest, which means extra money as a punishment, or as it's called interest, you know, if you don't pay the money, it gathers more money, and you have to pay extra money, and it's a whole thing about paying extra money on the money that you owe. If the third year comes and you don't pay me all the money that you owe me, you and your whole family, your wife and your kids and your baby will have a tremendous, terrible punishment from Count Potocki. And you can only imagine what the kind of punishments are that the poets give, with dungeons and all kinds of things to be thrown out of their house, or whatever the Count can dream up, or worse things, whatever they are. Mommy doesn't like me talk about punishment things. She likes me talk about nice, sweet terms for things. We're not going to dwell on the punishments. But whatever it is, he was in very big danger together with his family. And of course, they start davening to Hashem and saying Tillim and giving tzedakah whatever they could and doing whatever tshuva he could. And the manager was a Yarei Shamayim, he had Yarei Shamayim, and he was close to Hashem and Torah mitzvahs. But, kinalach, it's hard to have such betachin in a time that is so scary and it seems impossible, but of course you have to have a talking, but it was very difficult for him, and he was just nervous and nervous and nervous, crying, getting scared, and the day was coming closer and closer that he's got to pay Count Potocki his rent, and he did not have it again. One day, his wife says to her husband, "My husband, I heard people talking, and I've heard this a few times, that not so far away is a great tzaddik named Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, who is a halakhic tzaddik, and he even has a special power to help Yidden in a special miracle way. And we certainly need a miracle way, because the regular way is just not enough for us, so we've been trying. Why don't you go to the halakhic tzaddik, to the Baal Shem Tov, for his bracha, or maybe he can tell you something you can do." This manager had also heard about the Baal Shem Tov, but he was not exactly one to believe in such a thing, and in fact he would sort of like make a face and say, I don't think it's true, it's not really, a long time ago you had such people, but nowadays probably this Baal Shem Tov is, just maybe, who knows, maybe he's not really such a special tzaddik person. I don't think I'm going to go there because I don't think it's going to help me anything, so forget it. And his wife kept saying, "But please, we've tried everything and nothing is helping, and everyone says that this is a halakhic tzaddik. What could it hurt? Why don't you go and try and see what happens?" And he didn't want to go, and he didn't want to go, but the time was coming closer and closer, and he got more and more nervous until finally, because his wife kept asking him, he said, "Well, okay, I'll go." His wife was a good lady. And he travels to the Baal Shem Tov. And he goes into the Baal Shem Tov when the time comes, and he tells the Baal Shem Tov the big danger that he and his family are in, owing the poet so much money, and it seems like it's impossible to pay so much money, and if he doesn't, he's in big trouble. And the Baal Shem Tov, Kinalach, looked at the manager, and then maybe he was expecting some kind of a special bracha, like everything would be good and fine with miracles, whatever he was expecting, but this is what he got. This is what he heard. The Baal Shem Tov says, "This coming Sunday morning, after Shabbos, you should go out of your house, into the street, and go to the marketplace. Go into the marketplace, and over there, people sell things. The first person that comes up to you, and he offers you something to buy, you should buy that thing. You should not look at it and care what it is, and you shouldn't care how much money it's going to cost you, but whatever is the first thing that somebody will come to you in that Sunday morning and try to sell you, you should buy it right away, no matter what it is and no matter what the price is, you should buy that thing. And after you do that, you should bring it here to me, and I'll tell you what to do afterwards." This is all that the Baal Shem Tov said. No bracha, no miracles. Just a thing to do. To go out in the street and buy something from some goy who sells it to him in the street. Because over there, on Sunday morning, in that marketplace, most of the people that were selling things that would come up to you were just going from the villages who had different things to sell. And the manager goes back home and he tells his wife, not with a smile on his face, but like with a worried look, "I went to the Baal Shem Tov and I didn't get a bracha. He just told me some ridiculous thing to do, and forget about it. What's it going to help anyway? And how could that help? And forget about it. We're in the same difficult pickle that we were before, and we're in a big mess, and it's getting near the day that I have to go to the parents." And he starts to cry. "Oh, what's going to be with us?" And his wife said, "But wait a minute, what did the Baal Shem Tov tell you to do?" And he said on Sunday morning after Shabbos, on Sunday morning, I should go in the marketplace and I should buy the first thing that somebody goes and tries to sell me, and I shouldn't look at what it is, and I shouldn't care how much it costs. Isn't that ridiculous? And he expected his wife to agree with him, but she said, listen, if the Baal Shem Tov, the Hilik Tzaddik, told you to do that, the main thing of a tzaddik is to do what he says, so why don't you go and do it? What do you have to lose? The Baal Shem Tov told you something to do. How's that going to help? Listen, we can't figure out. Why don't you just try? He didn't want to do it, but it came Sunday morning, and his wife asked him, please, do what the Baal Shem Tov asked. What have you got to lose? And finally he said, okay, I'm going out in the street. I'll see what happens. I'll probably be back in a few minutes because nothing happened. And now he goes out in the street Sunday morning. And he starts to walk in the marketplace. And right away, all of a sudden, a goy comes up to him. And he says, hello, mister, would you like to buy this? I have this to sell. How about buying this? And he looks down and he sees it's a sheepskin. Now, a sheep is an animal, and a sheep has a skin. And they cut off the skin from the sheep, and they make different things out of it. And this was not a coat, or it was not a rug, or it was not something that was finished from the sheepskin. It was just a raw sheepskin, and that was the way the skin comes off of the animal. And it was rolled up and tied with a little string, and it was just a piece of sheepskin. And the man looks down at it, but he remembered he shouldn't care what it is. And it was the first thing that somebody wants to sell him, and this person came up right away. And he says to the guy, how much money is this? And the guy says, $1 golden coin. The yid reaches in his pocket, and he pulled out one golden coin, which was exactly how much money he had in his pocket. He had exactly one golden coin in his pocket. And he was very surprised how everything seemed to be happening exactly as the Baal Shem Tov said. And he gave the goy the one golden coin, and he took the sheepskin. And at first, he felt like this very, very special feeling, like this is Hashkacha Pratis, and Hashem is helping in a special way. But as he turned around to go back home, he starts to feel different. He starts to think to himself, what did I do? I spent my last money. And what did I buy? A worthless piece of sheepskin. A raw sheepskin. Oh, what did I do? Oh, this is terrible. Now, of course, we know Kinalach. We've spoken about it before. We have a feeling inside that something is for Hashem, or it's a Shchacha Pratis, it's a Helika feeling, that we have a sixth sense, like a Koyach to feel Helikite. We spoke about this before, that we have a certain feeling inside, and I told you once, it's a sixth sense. Like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and feeling are the five senses, and you have a sixth one that feels Helikite. But we also have a Malek. A Malek makes cold, and he tries to figure everything out. And if he can't understand it or figure it out, he says, it's nothing, forget about it. It's not Hashem, it's just the way things are. This is the voice of a Malek, cold and hard, and not believing in Hashem. And Kinalach, by the time he got home, he was upset. And he says to his wife, I wasted our last money on this worthless piece of junk. Oy vey, everything is terrible. And his wife said, no, everything is fine. You did exactly what the Baal Shem Tov said to do. And now all you have to do is take that to the Baal Shem Tov, like he asked you to do. And let's see what happens next. And so Kinalach, he didn't want to, but his wife asked him, and finally he said yes. He goes to the Baal Shem Tov with that sheepskin. And as soon as he goes in and brings the Baal Shem Tov the sheepskin, Baal Shem Tov smiles and he says, you did very well. It's very good that you bought this sheepskin. And now I'll tell you the next thing to do. In a few days is going to be Count Potocki's birthday. And on Count Potocki's birthday, he makes a big birthday party every year in his castle. And he invites all of his friends, other princes, and other noblemen, and princes, and important people, and millionaires, and all kinds of people that go to the princes' castle. And they all bring him presents on that day for his birthday. And also you, the Baal Shem Tov says to the manager, you should also go to the Poritz's castle, to Count Potocki, and give him a present. You should give him this sheepskin as a present for his birthday. And Kinelach, the manager, could hardly believe his ears. He just couldn't believe his ears. Because on the day of Count Potocki's birthday, he's heard about it before, he's even seen the Poritz is going there and the friends of the Count, of Count Potocki. He makes a big fancy birthday, everybody gets dressed up in their fanciest clothes, and these are big millionaires, and they bring Count Potocki presents. But what kind of presents do you think they bring him? What do you think? Diamonds, gold, silver, jewels, jewelry for Count Potocki's wife, fancy schmancy things, wagons with horses, expensive things. And he's supposed to go and give a sheepskin? And he's supposed to go himself to the castle in front of all those people and give Count Potocki a sheepskin for a birthday present? And now Kinelach, the Yid goes home, and now he's very, very sad, and he's crying, and he's very upset. Oh no, everything is just terrible. The Baal Shem Tov didn't help me. I'm getting in bigger trouble now, and now it's going to be so big trouble. It's going to be such a terrible trouble. And he goes to his wife, and he says, the Baal Shem Tov told me that I'm supposed to take the sheepskin and give it to Count Potocki in his castle for his birthday. And Count Potocki, he's going to get so angry. Not only is he going to be angry at me, and he'll probably, Chas v'Shalom, take out his gun, and who knows what he's going to do with it, but he's probably going to get mad at all the Jews, because he's going to think that if I'm a Jew and I'm making fun of him with this present, probably all the Jews are laughing also. We're all going to get in trouble. Oh, no. I wish I would have never gone to the Baal Shem Tov, because now it's going to be trouble for everyone. And his wife says, wait a minute. You've done everything exactly as the Baal Shem Tov told you. And now all you have to do is this one more thing. And you'll see, everything will be okay. The Baal Shem Tov is the one who told you to do this. It's not you yourself figuring it out. We can't figure out the words of a tzaddik. Just go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and everything will be okay. Hashem will help. As much as he didn't want to do it, his wife assured him and said, everything will be okay. I'm with you all the way. Hashem is with you. The Baal Shem Tov is with you. Why don't you just go and just do what the Baal Shem Tov says. The main thing is doing, not figuring out and understanding. The bracha is doing what the Baal Shem Tov said to do. And, okay, go ahead. It came the birthday of Count Potocki. In the street, in the town, leading to the castle, you could already see the beautiful, fancy wagons with people dressed up in the wagons, very fancy schmancy in their best clothes, going to Count Potocki, and they had beautifully wrapped gifts and presents to take to him. And now this Yid is going to set out to go to the castle of Count Potocki, also carrying the sheepskin. And he's so nervous. And he takes a few steps out of his house and he turns back. I'm going home. I'm staying home. I'm not going anywhere. And his wife says, no, go ahead. It'll be okay. And he goes to the end of the yard and he turns around. No, 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 I can't do it. I can't do it. He goes back in his house. His wife says, no, no, no. Just be strong. Have the tochin in Hashem. You have the bracha of the Baal Shem Tov. And he goes down the street and he turns around again. Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. You can. Hashem will help. Finally, he goes on the road to the castle of Count Potocki.
Go.
Finally, he gets to the road, the little road that turns up to the castle, and he goes up the hill, and he goes to the big gates, and he's so nervous, he's shaking. And inside, he can already hear the music and see the people. And through the window, he sees Count Potocki sitting on his birthday in his birthday place and a special chair that they have for him, getting all of his presents, and people are going with big smiles, giving him presents, beautiful silver and gold and diamond things and expensive things. And he wants to turn away, but he says, I'm going to the door. He goes to the big door. He's about to knock on the door and he says, I can't, I just can't. I can't go in there in front of all those people. They're going to be looking at me. And as he's turning around to run away, the door opens and a servant comes out and he says, yes, what do you want? What are you doing here on the Count's birthday? And what's that in your hand? I came for the birthday party of Count Potocki. You came to Count Potocki's birthday party? You? Aren't you the Jewish manager who owes Count Potocki so much money and Count Potocki is angry that you didn't pay him yet? And you come to his birthday party on the day of his happy birthday party that he should have to look on you? That he's angry on you? You're going to make him angry if he sees you. Are you sure? Well, I didn't just come. I brought him a present. You brought Count Potocki a present? What is the present? Is it that thing in your hand? Yeah, it's this. What is that? It's a sheep. A sheepskin. I thought it was a sheepskin. You mean, you're going to give that to Count Potocki? But my baby, you want to give it then? He says, go yourself in front of all the guests and go to Count Potocki. He's sitting in his special birthday chair and give him the present. And now, all of a sudden, the Jew goes into the big hall where all the guests were. And all of a sudden, they turn around and they see, as he's walking now down the hall, in the hall, he's walking now across the floor. Everyone looks as he's walking past the tables. And everyone, all eyes are on him, walking now to Count Potocki. And now Count Potocki sees, all of a sudden, coming close to his birthday chair, the Jewish manager. And it gets quiet. The music even stops. The musicians were also watching. Everybody was watching. And Count Potocki says, what are you doing here on my birthday? I don't like to look at you that you owe me so much money. Don't you know it's my happy birthday? What are you doing here? You better have a good reason for being here, or else I'm going to get angry at you. And the Yid says, I brought you a birthday present. You brought me a birthday present? What could you possibly give me? Don't you know how many birthday presents I get from my friends? Gold and silver and diamonds and jewels and all kinds of things. What could you possibly give me? Yeah, I brought you this. It's a sheepskin. And Count Potocki looked at the sheepskin.
You brought me a sheepskin. This is what you give Count Potocki on his birthday. And he got so angry. This is what you bring me on my birthday.
And he noticed that people were starting to laugh. They thought it was funny. A Jew bringing a sheepskin to Count Potocki.
He says, are you making fun of me? You're making fun of Count Potocki on his birthday? Oh, I'm so angry. And he says, guards, take him away and lock him up in a room. And I'm going to figure out what to do with him. Maybe I'll throw him to the dogs.
And they take him away, and he's crying and screaming. And Count Potocki is sitting there holding the sheepskin. And he says to the people, could it be that a person does such a thing? And he decided he's going to get up and he's going to go to his own room with the sheepskin. He says, maybe there's more to this than meets the eye. And he goes into his room and he unrolls the sheepskin. And as he's looking at it, all of a sudden, he starts to see a very interesting thing. You know, a sheepskin, there are different colors with the different kinds of hair in the sheepskin. There's brown, there's black, there's gray, there's white. And all of a sudden, he sees his name, Count Potocki, in the hair of the sheepskin. He sees his father's name. Hey, look, that's my father's name. George, whatever it was. All of a sudden, he sees, hey, look, this is the day I was born. It says the day, the month, the year. This is the day of my birthday. Exactly the day and the month and the year that I was born. It's my name, my father's name, my family name, and my birthday in the sheepskin. And then he turns it around to see if somebody sewed it in, and he didn't see any thread that somebody sewed it. All he saw was the back of the sheepskin. And he looks at it from different sides to see, how did it get here? Did somebody sew it, or did it grow that way on the sheep? And he got so excited. And he ran out to his friends, and he says, look, I've got to show you this. And he went from table to table, showing everybody the sheepskin. Look at this wondrous, amazing gift. Look at this incredible thing. And everybody's gathered around trying to figure out how the words got there. And everybody's trying to talk. They're trying to figure out how the words got there. The Kinnerot, the whole time, the manager, the Yid, was locked up in a room, and he thought that the Count Potocki was just getting more angry and figuring out what kind of a punishment he's going to get. He didn't know about all of these things. Finally, Count Potocki said, bring out my Jewish manager, because I want to thank him for the wonderful gift. And they go to get now the Yid, and he thought they were bringing him out to throw him to the dogs, and he's crying and he's screaming, and he says, he gets in front of Count Potocki, throws himself down on the floor, I'm sorry, I'll tell you the whole thing, I'm sorry. And of course all the parents and all the friends are gathered around, and they're listening. He says, Essex, I'll tell you what happened. I didn't have the money, and I was so worried. I wanted to pay you, and I heard about a tzaddik, a great Yid named the Baal Shem Tov, and I didn't want to go, but my wife said he's very holy, so I went, and he told me to go in the marketplace on Sunday morning and buy the first thing, and then I brought it to him, and he said, I should bring it to you for a birthday present. I didn't want to, but the Baal Shem Tov said, I should bring it to you for a birthday present. Please, don't send me to the doggies. And he's crying, and all of a sudden he looks up and he sees Count Potocki's smiling a nice friendly smile, and everyone is smiling. They help him up. They say, no, you don't understand. The Count Potocki wants to thank you. He loves the gift. And Count Potocki says, look, this is the best gift of all. Next to your gift, everything else is like nothing. I don't care about any of the other stuff. In fact, I'll give it to you. I don't need it anyway. From your beautiful sheepskin, I decided I'm going to make a birthday hat. And when I sit on my special birthday chair on my birthday, I'm going to wear my birthday hat from your skin that you gave me, the beautiful skin. And
He gathered up all the gifts that his friends gave him and he put it into a bag and he says, look, I'm giving all this gold, silver and diamonds and all these fancy things to you. You should have it as a reward for bringing me this. And also, you don't have to pay me the rent. And he says, every year on my birthday, I'm inviting you to come to my castle and you're going to sit next to me and you're going to be my guest of honor. I'll even get you kosher food and you're going to get gifts every year and all my friends will also give you presents because we're going to thank you for this wonderful gift that you gave me, making me so happy on my birthday. And that, of course, is the end of the story of Count Potocki.